It's actually only 59 minutes, but we will make the best of it as if we had an entire hour. Now, this concept is just a little bit more than what I can handle today. I had every intention of discussing the relationship between the current COVID-19 and cell wall deficient tuberculosis and tuberculosis infections. And some of that was based on, I was reading from the University of California at Berkeley, that the demographers, they noticed that the people that died back in 1918 were those that had tuberculosis. And so I find that very, very intriguing. One small tidbit, and hopefully I can cover this topic in better detail, where the information just sort of flows in a good direction and we can stay on the same page. But right now, I just admit, I just have not mastered the details of the information that, on a level that I want, but I want to be able to deliver it to you because I think there is just so many hidden gems and diamonds in this goldmine of information concerning this COVID-19 and the potential that it could really be an underlying tuberculosis infection. Which, part of the reason why I'm so intrigued by this is, number one, when they say the people back in the year 1918 that died of the Spanish flu, it wasn't really the Spanish flu so much as it was the people that died had tuberculosis to begin with, which I don't know what your age is, but let's just say that you're old enough to where maybe your parents lived back in the teens or the 20s or the 30s. Now, back then, it was not uncommon to hear about what are called sanitariums, or sometimes referred to as tuberculosis sanitariums. And obviously, this would be a method of trying to quarantine those people that were sick, get them out of the population. Don't let them run around town and go to the drive-thru of the fast food restaurant. I'm joking. I don't know if they had fast food restaurants in 1920 or 1918. I doubt it. Anyway, maybe there was a clever individual that found a way to put soup in a bowl. Wait a second. There was no Ziplocs. Never mind. But they would send people that tested positive for TB. You know, they had these lumps and swollen lymph nodes in their neck and they had the cough. You know what I think of? Remember the movie Wyatt Earp? You may not have seen that, but I remember Doc Holliday, he just looked horrible. Oh, did he look bad. Constantly looked pale and green around the gills, beads of sweat on his forehead, in a perpetual weakened state, coughing into a cloth. Anyway, there's tuberculosis right there. But I remember as a child hearing stories of relatives from California that had to go off and stay at a tuberculosis sanitarium. Now, it's been well studied and well proven. See, I told myself I wasn't going to talk about this, but here I am taking off on the topic. Well, maybe this is just a primer for next week. If you haven't heard this program before, I am Dr. Morgan. This program is Health Essentials here on your favorite radio station. And so you may have heard before that when someone went to a sanitarium, so they, for the purpose of convalescing and being pronounced clean and free of the disease, the ones that were outdoors the most, they seemed absolutely without a shadow of a doubt to heal the fastest. Really, you don't say. When you go outside and you let the ultraviolet radiation from the sun strike your skin, and obviously the more skin that you show to the light of the sun, the greater the chance that you can convert cholesterol, which is a very good substance, I know it's treated as bad, but it's good, into a vitamin or a hormone called vitamin D3. And from vitamin D3, you have this incredible bolstering of your immune system. That's right. There are actual antibiotics that your body will make if it has an adequate amount of vitamin D3. Well, how do you get that? Well, it's just what I said. You already know this. It's a sun vitamin. Sunshine. What happens to you if you do not have enough vitamin D to meet each and every need and requirement for vitamin D? Well, it ain't a big mystery. There's just a whole bunch of stuff that goes undone. Yeah, I mean, you could say on paper, I want to be healthy, I'm tired of these infections, but unless you go out in the sunshine or you supplement your current diet or your sun exposure with vitamin D3, then there may be some things that just go undone. What are the two most common symptoms of a man or a woman that has low levels of vitamin D3? Well, number one, they have fatigue that just does not resolve. How would you like to be tired forever and a day and just wonder, when am I going to get my energy and my strength back the way that it used to be? Well, if you're low in vitamin D3, that may not happen easily. The other symptom is pain and inflammation that does not resolve and it does not leave the body. So let's just make it simple. If you have lost an incredible amount of your energy, or there's been a noticeable drop-off, is it actually wrong to consider that maybe your system is deficient in vitamin D3? What if you have some types of aches or pain that just plagues you? It keeps you beat down. I don't know about you, but chronic severe pain, that could wear any person down. So going back to what I said earlier, the number one predictor on how short of a stay that you are going to have at the tuberculosis sanitarium is going to be your willingness to go outside and maybe catch a few rays. Simple as that. If you'd like to join me on the radio, please feel free to call and ask me your question. I'd be glad to help. We've got to find a way to make you stronger. And it starts with being your own best advocate. I know we live completely in a world filled with what's called the victim mentality. Always putting the onus on someone else for our health or the car that we drive or don't drive. A woman told me the other day that she was putting gas in her Ford Fusion, which I don't know if you know anything about a Ford Fusion, but that would not be what I would consider a high-end luxury car like a Rolls-Royce. Are you with me on that? And she said a man walked across the street and he asked her a question. He says, how does a woman like you afford a car like this when I have to walk everywhere I go? And I thought to myself, oh my goodness, it's called a job. All right, good morning. Welcome to the program.
Hello?
I am. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, hey, Dr. Morgan. This is James Longview. I saw you a few months ago about a problem with my sinuses, and you talked about a balloon sinuplasty.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I went to the doctor. He said, that won't help me, so he's got me set up for surgery on the 30th of this month.
How does he know it won't help you?
He did a CT scan.
Did it show that your sinuses were completely filled and not draining?
Yeah. Well, yeah, he showed that it was blocked, and I had a deviated septum.
Are those the two areas that he's going to do a surgical procedure on, is unblocking the sinuses and then correcting the deviated septum?
Yes, sir.
Did your younger brother punch you in the nose when you were younger?
Yeah, he hit the nose.
Okay. Well, it's his fault then. I make him pay for it.
Okay.
Do you think he'll agree to that?
I doubt it. My insurance should have to do the best it can.
Okay, gotcha. Well, I hope that the procedure goes really, really well.
Okay. So that's just what has to be done, then, right?
Well, I mean, what my recommendation was is trying balloon sinuplasty. And I realize we're living in a difficult time because people tend to recommend the very thing that they're... Now, is this a doctor that does balloon sinuplasty?
Yeah, he's an ENT. He's an ENT doctor, yes, sir.
Well, but does he do this day in, day out on people?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then I would have trusted his judgment then.
Okay.
So he wasn't even willing to give it a try to see if it would help the sinuses to drain.
He examined me, and he said he can't really see. He had to do a CT scan to see what's going on there.
And from the CT scan that's already been done, he said it's completely blocked and your septum is deviated, right?
Yeah, that's what he said, yes.
Do you remember any event in your life that may have broken your nose?
Yeah.
What was it?
I was hit in the nose by mistake with a ball.
But it was just a freak accident, right?
Yeah.
Well, I'm guessing it wasn't a beach ball that hit you in the face.
Baseball.
Oh, that's about as hard as it gets, isn't it?
Yeah.
How old were you at the time?
At the time, I was in my 20s. I was about 25, 26.
Oh, my goodness, that's horrible. I bet you for quite a while you couldn't even see straight from your eyes watering so bad.
Yeah, I had a lot of it.
I thought I was the only one that got punched or hit in the face. Not recently, not in the last day or two. Well, I wish you the very, very best. Still, I still think it's a very, very good idea. Whatever you can do to strengthen yourself between now and then is going to be a good plan. Now, personally, if it were me, I would stick with very, very simple things like if you took extra vitamin C each day, I think that'd be a good call.
Okay.
When you look at one particular mineral that's called zinc, oh my goodness, that mineral is a game changer.
I take 50 milligrams of that every day.
Oh, so you're building up your reserves right now, so when you have the procedure, your body's got some energy to draw off of.
I have some whole vitamin C. I take that also.
Do you have the procedure scheduled yet?
Yeah, it's for the 30th of the month.
Did they tell you to fast just the day before?
Well, I have to go in for pre-op on the 23rd.
Does that mean they'll do labs then?
Yeah.
Do you know, did they find anything else like in your blood work?
You mean like an infection of some kind?
Yeah, because that's the... And actually, you beat me to the punch because that would be the number one thing that I would think of.
That's what you had told me when I came and saw you. And I went back to the doctor and I said, you said I had a low-grade infection. It's probably my sinuses. Because you examined my sinuses. And I went back and he did find out that that was what was wrong.
Well, I think if the sinuses can start to open up and drain and your nose is corrected, could you imagine what life would be like if you could breathe all day long through your nose and all night long when you sleep? That'd be like in heaven, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it's just really bad at night. I'm really blocked at night.
Well, that's just got to be pure misery. Well, I wish you the very, very best, James. I'll be rooting for you, buddy.
Well, thank you.
And the 30th is going to be here before you know it. We're going to blink, and it's going to be the 30th, right?
I know.
It just goes by so fast. Well, any time that I can help you, please let me know.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks. Have a good day. Bye-bye. All right, if you'd like to join me on the radio, 903-586-5257. The other thing that really, really intrigued me about this conversation of, well, we'll go to the phone lines, that's more important.
Okay.
All right, I'm with you. Dr. Morgan, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you. Good morning. Hey, there's a lady I buy eggs from. Those kind of run around the field and such. But the eggs don't run around the chicken soup, excuse me.
No, gotcha.
Yeah. Anyway, she was telling me her husband has hardening of the heart. And so I thought I'd call in and see what you might say about that so I can pass that on to her.
Well, let me run something past you because I read this years ago. There's a very, very famous medical school in the Dallas-Fort Worth area called Southwestern Medical School. You ever heard of it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, they did a study years ago that really caught my attention. Here's what they did. You're familiar with the idea that when a person, sometimes at the very end of their life, they may opt to give their body to science for the purpose of training medical students on how to, heal the body.
Okay.
And so in this particular study, what they did was they, at the point of death, the medical school was able to harvest some of the main arteries from these people that just passed away. So the point I'm getting is to they could actually keep these arteries alive in a test tube. All they did was they gave them a nutrient bath and they gave them oxygen, and the arteries kept right on living. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And so what they did was they started asking the question, is there anything that we know of that really causes the arteries to harden? Which I know this is a little bit of a stretch, but can I suggest to you the arteries of the heart have three layers of muscle? And in some ways, that's similar to the heart muscle itself, because I know the question you're asking is, what about a hardening of the heart?
Mm-hmm.
Actually, that sounds biblical, doesn't it? Hardening of the heart.
It does.
If we can come up with a solution on how to soften a person's heart, this is going to be like the best conversation of all time. And so in this particular research setting, they injected various and sundry chemicals and substances to see what would happen. But and I don't remember the entire study, so forgive me, but I remember the punchline, though.
Good.
When they injected insulin into this nutrient bath that kept the arteries alive, out of nowhere, hard calcification, almost like somebody was pouring fresh-laid cement in the arteries, and they would become very rigid and very stiff and very hard. And so my point is, anything that induces the body to release an extra amount of insulin is you're asking for hardening of the heart and the arteries.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And which I know I'm going to jump to a different study, but one of the studies done on baboons, which I'm not comparing baboons to humans, although I was at Walmart yesterday and I saw a person that looked just, never mind, let's change the topic. That's a bet anyway. And the reason why is they didn't have much clothing on, but anyway. But here's the deal. In the baboon study, when they give them completely unfettered access to food and they can eat as much as they want when they're in a controlled laboratory environment, they know how long they're going to live. But if they can reduce their caloric intake by about 40%,
mm-hmm.
then they can essentially extend their life by about 120%. It's just unbelievable. And so if you're restricting the calories of a primate, there may be some correlation to human beings and to other mammals also. So the point is, if you only eat in a narrow window, like 6 to 8 hours, that's called a feeding window, and you do not eat after that, that means you're essentially fasting for 16 to maybe 18 hours a day. Now, the value of that is it greatly lowers the insulin. And so insulin, if we inject insulin, that causes the greatest stiffness of the heart. Now, that's just one idea. So it may be that this gentleman that you love and care about very much is eating either grains or sugars. Or on the side note, he may be very, very physically inactive. That promotes the arteries becoming stiffer. Now, from the nutrient part of the world, there is a fat-soluble vitamin, sometimes it's called minoquinone 4 or minoquinone 7, but it's known as vitamin K2. It is a fat-soluble vitamin. Under normal circumstances, it's made by friendly microbes and bacteria. So one of the greatest sources of vitamin K2 would be a highly fermented dairy product called Gouda cheese. I don't know how they make Gouda cheese, but evidently they got the technology down just right to where this cheese ferments for quite a while, but it gives off a rich amount of vitamin K2. When the human body is not producing enough K2, or they're taking a statin drug like, we'll just say a statin. A statin drug blocks the body's production of vitamin K2, which means the heart can become very stiff, because without K2, calcium starts to form in inflamed tissues, and it just basically it turns them to stone.
Oh.
So does that make sense?
I'll find out, and I'll give her that information to see if her husband's on a statin drug. Who knows?
Well, and this is, I know it's kind of a diabolical plot here, because I know they don't promote it that way, but there's not one thing that a statin drug can do to prevent plaque formation. Not one thing. The studies have shown that. It doesn't do anything to stop a hardening of the artery or hardening of the plaque. But boy, is it promoted that way. It just goes to show you that once somebody makes their mind up about something, even if it's incorrect, they will not back off that topic at all, will they?
We find that every day in all sorts of different things.
In every topics. Aspect of life. Yeah, you're right. Yes. I don't even think there's a topic that doesn't apply to. So well said.
I don't either.
And so when there's a deficiency of vitamin K2, you're asking for the hardening of the heart.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, literally. I wasn't trying to say metaphorically, like a person, you know, like is like Pharaoh who has a hard heart. Please tell me this man's name is not Ramses or Tutankhamun.
Not here in East Texas. I don't think
she doesn't
so.
Call him King Tut is like an endearing pet name, does she?
No, she does not.
Okay, so the other thing is, without K2, it is so much easier for calcium, which is what rocks are made out of, or one of the aspects, to build up in the heart. The other mineral that seems to be at play here would be called magnesium.
Mm-hmm.
And so study after study shows that you're more prone to having stone formation in the kidneys, like as in a kidney stone. And those are like calcified rocks. It's called calcium oxalate. When you're lacking magnesium. The other studies show that the more soft drinks that you consume, the more calcification you have inside of the human body. So that's not a good plan. The other thing is maybe just a different idea. And this is going to be a very perplexing thing to tell people, because you're probably going to look at this and say, no, you cannot be right about this, Dr. Morgan. Once again, you're wrong on this one too. But the studies show that when postmenopausal women take calcium in the form of, let's just say, Citracal or Oscal, which those are very, very popular over-the-counter supplements, but when women take those, they have a higher rate of bone fracture as compared to those that don't. But then again, in nature, I don't see antelope and gazelles licking rocks to get their calcium. They're usually eating some type of succulent plant matter or vegetation, whether it's an herb or a weed or whatever a gazelle would eat. Because when you get calcium, it comes from, say, kale or broccoli or salmon. Or what else would have calcium? Well, let's just go with those. That's a form of calcium that somehow or another the bacteria and the plant and the animal has been able to process it into a human-friendly source. So I'm all for calcium.
Mm-hmm. But you said Citracal and Oscal.
Yeah, because those are just over-the-counter calcium supplements that are just made from, like, limestone.
And they do what to the bone structure? They weaken it?
Absolutely, they do. Now, see, that's going to be counterintuitive, because any person's going to say, dude, that cannot be correct. But when you get calcium from a plant or an animal source, that's when it's been shown to be very agreeable to the human body.
Okay.
So if you eat kale with butter on it, yes, there's calcium in that. But it doesn't cause a problem, because the plant has already, quote, digested it, broken down, processed it, assimilated it, where it's man and woman friendly and child friendly. But if you take calcium, I mean, do you know what a Vitamix is?
Vitamix?
Yeah, like a...
No.
It's a heavy-duty blender.
Oh, yeah.
I promise you, if you were walking by and you tripped and fell into it while it was on high speed, you would end up in a bad place. I would be coming to your cremation service.
I have the Japanese version of that. It's Japanese.
The Japanese version? Those are even better. They have samurai swords instead of blades. They'll pulverize anything.
And it's in black, too. It's ninja. You know, it's just,
yeah, okay. Ninja. Well, that's why I didn't know what you're talking about, because they're so stealthy and they hide around corners. You can't see them coming. But if you were to drop a rock in there, maybe it would pulverize the rock into dust. But just because you put the calcium dust in there, doesn't mean your body can assimilate that and absorb it. See, we're designed to eat food. I know that's a radical concept, but when you eat real food that God has made, it's already prepped and ready to go. But if you take a supplement that's made from stone or rocks, probably not going to go so well. That's kind of like if a woman is anemic, And the doctor says, I want you to take ferrous sulfate. Well, I could do just a good a job taking a nail or a bolt and a file and just putting some iron filings in a capsule. It's about the same thing, but it's horrible. But if you get iron that's from like spinach or from a raisin or from a ribeye steak, which I know you're opposed to ribeye steaks, they're too delicious for your family.
I'm more of a chicken fish person, but I do eat red
well,
meat.
Well, do you ever eat the dark meat of chicken, like a wing or a thigh?
Yes.
Good. Good man.
Yeah. So you're saying that iron filings are not good medicine.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
This guy, I heard this guy on the radio once. He was quoting somebody from long time ago, a few days anyway. He said, let your food be your medicine and your medicine be your food.
Well, wait a second. Say that one more time.
Pardon?
I'm going to write that quote down. That's a good one. What did you say? Let thy food be thy medicine and let thy medicine be thy food? That man.
There's a guy on about 7 o'clock Saturday morning. You should catch him on the radio. He talks about
that. That almost sounds like a guy by the name of Hippocrates or something like that back from like
that
ancient
could be
Greece.
I couldn't come up with that, but thank you.
You know what?
Anyway.
He had a lot of very, very good remedies. You know, I was reading the other day about him, and I think 70 of his healing formulas contained one substance. And I said, oh, what's this going to be?
Mm.
And they all contained raw honey. I thought, oh. So he figured out how to get people well over 3,000 years ago just by using some raw honey. What could we learn from that?
Yeah, I'm putting that now more and more in my foods, always in my tea now.
You're doing great. That's a good call on your part. So your friend has the friend that has a stiffness of the heart. He's got A, too much insulin. We got to find a way to lower that. B, he is completely lacking the nutrients that prevent stiffness, and I would say it's probably going to be vitamin C and bioflavonoids. Probably going to be some
bioflavonoids.
Well, for example, if you were to eat an orange.
Wait, was that K thing?
No, K2, but that's a fat-soluble vitamin that most likely, and for all I know, he might be low in vitamin E and beta-carotene also. I have read many, many studies that point towards somebody that smokes 2 packs of cigarettes a day is going to have a heck of a lot more stiffness in their heart and their arteries than somebody that doesn't, which I don't think that's a rocket science protocol right there. Did your did your father or mother smoke cigarettes when you were a child?
No.
Did you have any relatives that did?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Lots of them.
Well, see, that was my experience growing up. Every friend that I had, their parents smoked, and my father smoked. So, you know, I just thought it was normal.
Yeah. Yeah. Me too.
It was my job to go into the store, to the Pit Grill, and buy cigarettes for my dad. Of course, I did it with enthusiasm, of course. Dad, please, don't get out of the car. Leave it running. I can jump in there for you. I'm only 4 years old, but I can do it, Dad.
All right.
I don't think we can get away with that. But he's probably, this guy is probably low in the element zinc. He's probably low in magnesium. I think he's definitely low in vitamin C and vitamin K2. And, of course, the reason why I'm being more specific about those, if he were to start to turn this around and say, you know what, I'm going to do whatever I can to help myself. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to start eating 2 meals a day. I'm just going to have vegetables and meat with a little bit of fruit. And I'm going to avoid grains and processed foods and sugar. He can turn all this around. And then he can get his body moving.
Okay. That sounds really good. Is there any bad source of vitamin C or any other vitamin? I mean, is that possible?
Repeat the question.
Is there any bad source of vitamin C or any other vitamin,
well,
as you mentioned, there was for calcium?
Here's what you've got to understand right here. Most of the vitamin C is, the vast, vast majority, not all of it, is going to be made from what's called high fructose corn syrup. And so they chemically react high fructose corn syrup with a substance called sulfuric acid. And what that does is that rearranges one of the, I believe it's the hydrogen on that 6-carbon long chain, and all of a sudden, bam, voila, you've got ascorbic acid. Now, ascorbic acid is part of what's called the vitamin C complex, just like the paint on your car is part of the car. It's just the outer protective coating. And so just because they say ascorbic acid or vitamin C, if you purchase what's called real vitamin C, it can be called many, many things. But to, without going into great detail, if you purchase a some powder of what's called acerola cherries, that's a great source of natural vitamin C. If you purchase what's called camu camu powder, I didn't say camel, that's camu. I think that's C-A-M-U. That's really the name of those berries, camu camu. So that's going to be a great source of vitamin C also. There are some manufacturers that harvest natural vitamin C from like organic oranges. That's probably what I use more of than anything else. And so when you get it in its natural form, it just takes a little bit to go a long way. And I don't have the research in front of me, but to me, this is one of the most intriguing topics of all time. What happens when we give our body what it needs? It's capable of doing almost anything. I mean, God has designed the body to heal.
I agree. So when I buy some vitamin C, I should be looking at the ingredients and I will find out.
If you get just regular ascorbic acid, then that's just that's probably synthetically made from high fructose corn syrup with a reaction of sulfuric acid, which is like battery acid, basically.
Okay, thanks. I'm glad I asked the question, though.
Which
I appreciate.
I realize I'm not fleshing it out fully, but at least I'm giving you something to think about. So when you look for these things, if you were to go to the store, I mean, at the very least, you could say, okay, do I get regular vitamin C, or do I get the stuff called camu camu, or acerola cherry powder? And when you look at the price tag, you're going to say, now I know why there's plenty of the acerola cherries on the shelf and nobody's buying it, because it costs, you know, $28.95 versus $4.95.
Mm-hmm.
But I think once you know, then you can start to decide, how long do I want my body to last? What am I going to do with my life? What's my mission? What's my purpose in life? Am I going to take responsibility? And I think when you start to answer questions like that, you go, you know what, this is the best call. I can do without the 14 fudge sundaes, and I can get some vitamin C instead.
Yep.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
I'm very curious to find out about this gentleman that has stiffness of the heart, because that can be totally reversed.
Well, I'll tell them today if I see her.
I'm sorry, let me rephrase that. If his body temperature becomes 0 degrees, it can't be reversed at that point. But if it's somewhere between 96 and 99 degrees, then it can be reversed.
Correct.
There's a point where the temperature goes so low, it's kind of hard to turn it around.
Yeah. This is one of those times where I'm going to have to listen to your program again, because you gave so much so quickly. I've listened as much as I could.
Can only write so fast, right? No, thank you. Thank you for your phone call.
All right.
Have a good day, buddy.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay, there is a phone line once again open at 903-586-5257. So what did the Southwestern Medical School do to make the arteries stiff as a rock, like metal rebar? They just injected insulin. That was it. And so you may not really understand what that means, but when you eat a lot of sugar and you release a lot of insulin, that's what that means. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Hello.
Good, you got the radio off, thanks.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
Oh, that's okay.
I didn't know you were live. Happy 4th to you.
Did you just say that to prove that we're live?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
I didn't know and I didn't hear you say it anytime.
This program was pre-recorded yesterday on the 3rd. Go ahead.
Well, how can we be live if this was pre-recorded?
We are live. I was only joking.
I'm telling you, flipping me out this morning.
Actually, I'm recording your voice right now. It's one of the most smooth radio voices of all time.
Oh, I'm just a hick from the sticks, Dr. Morgan.
Well, aren't we all?
Yes, we are, really. Some hickier than others.
Would you like to live in a high-rise townhome in downtown Dallas?
No, I would not, unless I was, if the money was there, I would live there for a while, and then I would retire to the country, and I would have an escape that I could get away to, like a home here, a home there, you know.
Why did you say an escape I could get away to? You mean like just a vacation escape, that kind of escape?
Just get away from all of it, yeah. Just where the birds are and the squirrels and the wind blows.
Oh, no, that's where you're wrong. There's plenty of squirrels in Dallas.
Well, yeah, no kidding. Really.
Sorry.
Of all nationalities, let me put it that way, too.
Anyway, sure. Moving right along to the health topics.
Yes, sir. I don't even know what I was going to ask you now. That's the problem.
Well, it's my fault for distracting you, but you were going to ask a brilliant, brilliant question about natural health and healing.
I really was. I'm taking some brain power medication. Supplements, let me put it that way.
Is that one area that you think there's been some appreciable drop-off in brain function over the years?
Yes. Yes, it's just...
Would you believe me if I told you that when men start to exercise every day, they actually get more oxygen and nutrition to their brain cells, and they can see some new brain cells growing and improve brain function? Would you buy into that?
I would, and that's what I need to be doing more of it.
Would you buy into the idea that reading every day, where you kind of force yourself to learn something new? I realize, and I know what it's like to be lazy when I'm reading, because I've read entire, you know, four pages in a row, and then I stopped and said, what did I just read? And I thought, I don't even remember one thing. Evidently, I'm just mouthing the words, but I'm not really focusing. So I'd go back and reread them and go, oh, that's what it's saying, after about the seventh time that I reread it.
Come on, man.
But if you... I have the same issues everybody else does. Sometimes you have to really work and apply yourself to a new topic. But exercise, and it's called novel learning. That just means you're reading something that you're not familiar with. So you're kind of forced... or you're trying to learn something new, rather. But that has been shown to cause brand new brain cells to grow.
I know now what I was going to ask you. Brain cells.
Okay. And
pituitary, that's in the brain, correct?
It is, yeah. It's right there at the base of the brain. There's a little bitty bony saddle called the cella turcica.
Yeah.
I thought you'd want to know that little tidbit.
Cella turcica, huh?
But what about the pituitary? What's your angle on this?
My son doesn't have a pituitary since 2013, and he's been on medication ever since, because the story was he'll have to be on medication for the rest of his life, but we have to take the pituitary. And he looks mongoloid, like Andre the Giant.
Well, that's because he had a pituitary tumor that after his bones sealed up, they still produced human growth hormone that made him kind of bulk up like Andre the Giant.
Yeah, his head is, his forehead is real, sticks out pretty far. I mean,
well, what would you like to see happen here, or what specifically are you asking me? I mean, I have some ideas, but what
the the sunshine, he needs a vitamin D3.
Is he willing to go out in the sunshine?
Well, he does, and he I help him mow. He mows the yard every once in a while, and he does pretty good on that. But he gets real fatigued, and he says he just can't take the heat.
Okay, that's okay. Well, I can tell you. Let me give you a cue on this right here. I'm sorry. If I'm cutting you off, please forgive me. I'm not meaning.
No.
Okay. There is a gland that he still has. It's completely connected at the hip to where his pituitary used to be. It's called the hypothalamus. But see, the hypothalamus can be extremely important, because that is your master control gland of the body. Not so much the pituitary. The pituitary is usually given credit for being the master control gland, but it's really the hypothalamus. Because the hypothalamus completely reads each and every hormone level, whether it's oxytocin or estrogen or testosterone. And then it tells your body how to make an adjustment to that by telling the pituitary, make the thyroid make more thyroid, or tell the adrenals to do this. Did you turn your radio back up again?
Yeah, I did. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, then don't do that again. So the hypothalamus, that completely regulates body temperature. And so when somebody goes out and they can't tolerate the heat, I start thinking, is one a plausible explanation that the hypothalamus is very, very weak? But, you know, the very first thought that I had about your son was, And I'm telling you what I would do if it were me. But if it were me and I was in his shoes, I would start taking some, it's called hypothalamus extract and pituitary extract. And sometimes they're called, it's called hypothalamus PMG or pituitary PMG. PMG is just an acronym or the shortened version of proto-morphogen glandular. And I tell you, out of all the people that I've seen that have had glands removed or organs removed, I always give them glandular extracts because they work. So it's a strengthening agent. It will feed and nourish his hypothalamus, and the net result would be, can I just have permission to speak freely with you?
Anytime.
Okay. If he starts taking hypothalamus and pituitary, most likely he'll say that his mind is becoming more clear. He becomes more focused. He's going to come closer to sitting down and actually kind of thinking about, what am I doing with my life? What's going on here? And he's going to start wanting to be more productive. It's going to almost start to bug him to leave something undone, which that's probably the biggest energy killer out there, is having stuff to do, but you just don't do it. It's like a parasite living in your brain. You know you're supposed to get up and wash the dishes, but, I mean, have you ever heard of somebody that they haven't washed dishes in like 3 months? They're just piled up?
Right.
Well, maybe what I'm saying is, when we do stuff like that as human beings, it just totally zaps and saps our strength and energy to have something that needs to be done, but you don't get to it. I guess that's called procrastination. But even something as simple as, I haven't washed the sheets in my bed for 2 years, which is probably, which is probably like my childhood, but I didn't know any better.
I just changed mine after 6 months.
Oh, 6 months. Okay, you could be in the Guinness Book of World Records for that one.
I could not do it. There's no way.
So when they say sleep tight, don't let the bed bugs bite, they mean it.
Yeah, no kidding.
So if your son were to take hypothalamus extract, but the hypothalamus, it does not do well with artificial chemicals or sweeteners or food additives. I know that I'm hitting you really hard, but he cannot move forward if you're like munching on Doritos and drinking, what am I thinking of, Mountain Dew, because it has a green
food,
yellow dye.
Food.
Yeah,
Pepper.
There you go. But what would move the needle forward is, if we could find out, what does he want to do? What's his purpose in living here on earth? What has God designed him for? Maybe he can kind of, but usually, I mean, I know human beings enough to know that most people, they will not budge until they have a major event that happens. It's very, very negative. Then they start, some people call that a come to Jesus moment. Some people call that an aha moment. But at some point, you've got to almost have this breakdown where you're going, I cannot continue going this way anymore. What can I do to improve my lot in life?
Right. Yeah.
And so, but if he were to take hypothalamus PMG and pituitary PMG, I bet you anything we would see a significant improvement. Now, the other aspect of this is, with his unique dimensions and what he's gone through, we're going to try extra hard just to give him superior food. He just does not have the luxury of tolerating junk food.
That's what he eats: cereal and milk every morning, and it's not farm milk or dairy milk. It's what you get at the grocery store with all the hormones in it.
Would he be against eating eggs and avocado?
That's what I've tried to tell him. I didn't say avocado, but I will tell him that. But
well, it's just an idea. You don't have to do that. But I'd almost rather him have a bowl of steel cut oats instead of that, with some fruit in it.
Okay. Yeah.
But for men, if they don't eat meat, they cannot perform as men in the world working hard. I know that someone's going to call me and say that the vegan lifestyle is the way to go, and I won't argue that point. Maybe it is for some people, but I would say, by and large, most men cannot function at a high level without some meat in their diet. Of course, I want that to be clean.
Excuse me. I didn't have my mask on. I did that the other day. I'm not going to tell you where I was, but I don't wear a mask, and shame on me. But
Who do you think you are?
Dr. Morgan.
Rebellious.
You better believe it. May I say this?
I don't know what you're going to say. This could be pretty scary.
No, that's not scary. But, you know, people, I've told people this, they'll, well, you don't have a mask on.
You can't change what, listen, if the mass media tells them to paint their face red and put mud in their hair, they would do it saying it's scientific because I heard it on TV.
Yeah, a lady told me a few days ago, and she was an older lady. She came up to me at Walmart and you know, one of the self-serve checkouts, and I was there putting my money up and everything, and I had moved, but I had my stuff in a bag. And I looked at her, I said, ma'am, I said, you can come on up here. And of course, she was thinking about the 6 feet deal, and I know. And she said, okay. She said, well, I sure will. And I said, it's fine. I'm okay. You know, I don't have anything. I've been checked or whatever.
Interesting conversation so far.
Yeah. And she said, well, I'm just doing what they say do. And I looked at her, and she was probably, I'm 70.
Go ahead.
I'm 73, and she was probably maybe she was a little bit younger, and she was just as sweet as she could be, the little old lady type, you know. And here I am. I'm not a little old man, but I'm older. And it's just because the little old lady and the little old man type is the frail looking older person.
And you mean you don't identify with that?
No, and heck no. I'll say it not like that. Never will. I refuse to. But I felt so bad for her. I said, ma'am, I said, let me tell you something. I said, my deal is, and they say this, they say that. I'm not worried about what they say. I've got the blood of Jesus in me. And I said, ma'am, that's my immune system. And I try to take care of myself. And they talk about a vaccine, a vaccine, and a vaccine.
Would you move into a leper colony right now?
Yeah.
You would?
Yeah. I probably
then why did they, why did, but just let me say it this way. In the Old Testament days, if somebody went to the high priest with a skin lesion, the high priest said, you have leprosy. What do? They put them outside the camp, away from everybody else, which I'm just saying that's just the wisdom of God. And of course, if somebody had leprosy a day, I'm not against them, but they might have to be quarantined just like we had to do with tuberculosis 100 years ago.
Right, but I'm not going to run to the hills. I mean, oh my God, leprosy.
I know, but you're not going to go hugging them and kissing them, are you?
No.
Because there's a certain threshold where you can come in contact with so many of the Hansen's bacillus and spirilliums or whatever they're called, that you would actually be more vulnerable to getting it. Which, the number one group of people right now, by far and away, that's dying from the coronavirus, it's not those with high blood pressure. It's not the diabetics. It's the people that have tuberculosis. And as far as I know, there's 15 million active cases of tuberculosis in the United States right now.
Wow.
And back in the Spanish flu of 1918, just about all the people that died, they had tuberculosis. So they were the ones that succumbed to the infection. So I would say maybe we could look at this differently. But anyway...
Yeah,
but you can't worry. You can't worry about people that want to wear a mask. I mean, for all we know, there's a large group of people at church, maybe 10, that are older and they're scared of getting sick. They don't realize. They just haven't been taught and been able to accept that when you wear a mask, you're breathing all the toxic waste that you're blowing out. And when you breathe that stuff back in, you're actually encouraging very toxic germs and microbes to start growing in your nostrils and around your nostrils and inside your nose and on top of your nose and in your mouth, because
right.
I watch people all day long. If I went to the same store you went to, I'd be able to observe, oh my goodness, that person's a mouth breather. They don't even breathe through their nose.
Yeah.
It's even more toxic. But anyway, this whole deal is going to play out over time, and we will learn that wearing masks probably didn't do anything other than generate a tremendous amount of fear and income for mask-selling companies or something.
I think it tends to make people sick.
That's what I was trying to say in a roundabout way, which I would not come up and greet you with a holy kiss if I saw green stuff coming out of your nose. Actually, Probably wouldn't do it if you weren't green stuff coming out of your
I don't want to kiss anybody but somebody that I love or that I know. I mean,
right, like your son.
Yes, exactly. And I mean, it's just it's ridiculous. But anyway, I sneezed, I didn't have a mask on. I sneezed in a business the other day, and I went down one of the aisles to where nobody, and I put my hand over my mouth. And I said, oh, excuse me, you know, and people had masks, they were looking at me. And I said, I'm okay, I don't have anything. And I said, that was a sneeze, and, you know, obviously. And I said, I've been tested, and this and that.
Have you been tested?
I lied like a dog.
Oh, okay.
Well, we assured them because they were just freaking out. So, anyway, no, I haven't been tested.
Okay.
But well, I have a good excuse not to shake somebody's hand.
That's
and
right.
I'm not shaking hands anymore. I've never wanted to be a handshaker. That's just a custom. It's, you know, that's how you spread germs. My gosh.
I thought the purpose of shaking hands was to prove that your enemy wasn't holding a weapon. Anyway, no, thank you very much for your phone call. Let me know what happens with your son. But, you know, it's really fun to think about. He could literally become transformed and say, Dad, I used to love to play video games, but now I don't even want to do that anymore. I want to do something important.
Yeah. Well, he can still do that, so he's not in too bad a shape sometimes, so whatever.
Well, thank you for your phone call.
Yeah, God bless you. Happy Fourth, sir. God bless your family. Bye-bye.
Thank you. There's a phone line open at 903-586-5257. There's about 8 minutes left, give or take. Plenty of time for a phone call. What was I going to talk about? Something super, super important. Here we go. Here's a phone call. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Yeah, Dr. Morgan.
Yes.
Pleasure to talk to you, sir.
Yes, glad you called.
Hey, I had a question, but you know, you were talking about tuberculosis, and you probably know this, but the man that started the Quaker Oats Company, he was diagnosed with tuberculosis. This is like around 1900.
Oh, yeah.
And he went to Montana or somewhere and farmed for 7 years, and it cured him.
How about that?
But anyway.
No, I hadn't heard that story. I'm so glad you shared that with me. Do you remember his name by chance?
I'll look it up. But you could probably Google it or something. He didn't actually found the company, but he bought it when it was in its infancy.
Well, that's what happens when people are sick. You're supposed to get back to nature.
Right. But anyway, the reason I called is I was in a kind of a bad motorcycle accident about a year and a half ago.
Oh, no.
And that crushed my pelvis, ruptured my bladder, crimped my intestines. And I spent 110 days in the hospital, 7 days in the nursing home. And,
my word.
Wow. I have, 3 bolts in my pelvis, and the pelvis is not back together exactly right, what they tell me. There's a space.
So they kind of got as close as they could, but they couldn't.
Right, right.
Okay, gotcha.
And I'm fortunate to be alive. But anyway, the problem I have now is I don't have any energy. I'm a farmer, and, before this, I was farming 366 acres and milking 60 cows every day, and I've cut all that back. I'm only have 130 acres now, and just have some Angus cows and some sheep. But I get about 3-4 hours of work in, and then I'm beat.
Well, I can only imagine when you spent 110 days in the hospital, it probably depleted you of every molecule of energy you had in reserve, and that's what we got to do. We got to build you back up again. So.
I also became what they call septic. I'm not even sure what that is.
That means think in terms of I've got a chronic staph infection in my blood.
Okay. And that and I also, while I was in there, they gave me chicken valve, pig valve in my heart.
Was that an injury to your heart in the motorcycle wreck?
Well, they discovered it while I was in there. They said I had some kind of an organic infection.
Well, what drugs are you taking right now?
Okay, I'm taking magnesium oxide.
Scratch that right now immediately. You don't even need magnesium oxide. That's That's like a grinding magnesium into dust and putting a capsule. You don't want that. If you would go with something like magnesium lactate or magnesium glycinate, that'll be an instant upgrade for you right there.
Okay, and then I also take a lisinopril.
Yeah, that's a blood pressure medication to lower your blood pressure.
Right, and then I take, atrosatin, or it's supposed to be for cholesterol, I think.
There's your energy killer right there.
Okay.
That particular medication will completely destroy your ability to have energy. I see this all the time. I had a woman last week tell me, "Oh my goodness, Dr. Morgan, I actually have energy in my legs and I have a spring in my step." See, you know what it's like, out of all the people listening, to walk across the parking lot and it be with just tremendous force of will that you make yourself put your foot in front of the other foot because your legs are heavy and they're exhausted.
Right, and that's exactly how I feel.
Well, and that drug right there will completely do that. So legally, I am not telling you not to take that drug. I did not say that. Those words
right.
never come out of my mouth. But I'm telling you, that drug that you listed right there, that's a deal breaker right there. You will not have energy. And so you might look up red yeast rice or something that might be an alternative to that. But that drug will completely destroy your body's production of energy. And I'm telling you right now, for everything that you got going on in your life, you need energy.
Right.
Like you need me telling you that.
And I take a
metoprolol.
Right.
Yeah, but that's a drug also, and all they're doing is like the volume control on a radio in a car. You turn it down, you can barely hear it. You turn it up, you can get more power or juice to the speakers. That's what those drugs do. They kind of turn down the heart, so the net result is you got fatigue. Everything that you're taking produces fatigue as a side effect. You've already looked that up, I'm sure.
Well, not really.
Well, if you went to a website called drugs.com and typed in that, every one of those drugs, from the lisinopril to the statin drug to the metoprolol, all of them had the side effect of producing, of just killing your energy.
Okay.
And I know I'm being an oversimplifier here, but you have got to have energy. That's the top requirement of the human body. If you have energy, your body says, "Oh my goodness, you want me to fix something? I'll do it. You're giving me energy." But if you say, "You know what, I need you to correct this inflammation in the pelvis and get rid of the staph infection," the body says, "Yeah, I'd like to do that too, but why don't you give us some energy so we can do that?"
Right. I also take turmeric. I'm sure you've heard of that.
Oh, yeah, and I think that's a good call on your part.
I was taking narcotics for pain.
Well,
of mine suggested this, and I don't take the narcotics anymore.
Well, I'm going to tell you something that's going to be real weird, and just hear me out. If you know what an aloe vera plant is, which I know you do, if you were to find a way to start taking aloe vera gel every day, I bet you anything, you would tell me that your body's mending and healing at a much faster rate. So good for rejuvenating the body. So good.
Okay. We've got aloe vera growing around here, actually. I'm not sure on
it. Wait a second. Did you say they're growing everywhere around there?
Well, no, we have quite a few aloe veras around here.
I'm going to need your exact GPS coordinates just for my own personal information, just because I'm curious. Do you live far away from the radio station by chance?
No, I live, you know where Prairieville is?
Prairieville.
It's near Maybank.
I do.
It's kind of in between Maybank and Canton.
I'll be driving by there today. Is that on 19?
No, it's on 90. I live right off of 90.
Okay. Unfortunately, we're completely out of time for today, so I'm sorry to have to cut you off and let you go.
Hey, thank you very much.
Thank you for your call. I enjoyed every bit of it. Call again.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.